Last time on Leighton Legends.
Hey, over here.
As you make your way along the beach, you can see that halfway in and out of the water, lying face down in a pile of sand, is Valerius.
Val, buddy.
Stroke his little seal head.
Come on.
I'm going to lay on hands him for 15.
Okay, Val, you wake up and you start to feel better almost immediately. Your body is bruised and cold and wet and a seal, but you raise your little seal head and you look up and you can see your buddies.
I was going to wade into the water and just see how deep the basin got.
You want me to tie a rope to you and you could go in?
Yeah, Gio, that's a really, really good idea, actually. If you got some rope, so Val's just going to slowly wade into the water. If it has to empty, or it should empty maybe somewhere.
You start walking out to it, and it is certainly not that deep at first, but it quickly changes. It drops off very quickly.
Gosh, it's like I didn't learn my lesson or something, but like, oh, I guess my better judgment, maybe I think I'm going to transform back into a seal bell.
Well, you can see that towards the edge of this pool, there seems to be a bit of an opening where the water seems to really be rushing.
Yeah, I think I'll see where this goes.
And popping your head up, you see that, yes, indeed, you're in the new area.
Is this a body over here?
And in front of a lot of those crystals seems to be a body. And you're all looking down at this body and this tablet.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum. Looking at the tablet, you can see that it has a few stanzas of verse on it. And unlike many of the other writings that you've seen in this place, these writings are static. They're carved into the stone. They don't flick and twist with whoever is gazing upon them to change to a certain dialect. They remain the same. And looking at them, only one of you actually recognizes what they say.
Val.
And it's Val, because it's an Elvish.
It's not an Infernal.
No, it's not an Nothing's, Infernal. You should take
an
evening course. Yeah, take a night class at the university and maybe pick up a few extra languages. Now, I need to ask, what else are you doing in this room before you want to look at this plaque?
Not accidentally touching.
Because there's that corpse on the ground, there's that chair, there's crystals and shit.
I would like to just kind of check out these crystals and just, I don't know, just do see if they have magical properties or to see if they have any kind of effect or if they're just nice shiny crystals, I guess.
Oh, do they look anything like the prison shard crystals?
Yeah.
I will get Val to roll an Arcana check, and I'll get you, Mordecai, to roll an Investigation check.
Cool.
Sounds about fair to me.
I was hoping to do Arcana, actually.
Dirty 20.
While they're doing that, can I get Gio to just sit in that chair?
Get some crazy power-up right off the hop?
Sure.
I think
you have become the new elf lord.
I'm just feeling so very, very sad and tired. I'd just like to take a load off.
I mean, you have done a lot of swimming, so it's understandable.
Yeah.
Sure, you can do that if you'd like.
And by swimming, I mean walking under the water.
Yeah.
Guess that would have taken
So Giovanni, you approach the chair and you end up stepping up on its little pavilion and you sit in the chair. It's kind of like it was built for you feel kind of like a child in this chair. It is very large. It's certainly not built for someone your size. And Mordecai and Valerius, what do you guys roll for your respective roles?
A dirty 20 on the investigation check.
And not 20 for Val.
Nice.
Okay. So I'll start with you, Val. So, Val, you know that these are very magical.
Nice.
And it's tough to kind of pinpoint exactly what school of magic they belong to. It seems like maybe the different colors have different, affinities towards different schools of magic, if you're breaking this down into, an academic sense. But you can tell that the overwhelming sense...
Elements, almost, or...?
Well, yeah, the types of magic. So the different schools of magic that exist.
Okay.
And you can tell by looking at a few of them, and the general vibe of most of these seems to be transmutation.
Wow.
Let me know about that. I'm really good with transmutation.
So transmutation and conjuration.
Not so good with the second one.
Wow.
Those are the two schools of magic that they belong to. Some seem more attuned to those things. Others seem less strong. And something else that you pick up on, or maybe it's rather something that Mordecai picks up on as he looks at these crystals. And Mordecai, looking over them, you can see that they don't really look like the crystals that you're familiar with, the prison shards, we've been calling them.
Yep.
They seem reminiscent of them. You could maybe describe them as like a cousin to them. They seem like they're from a similar family, but the prison shard that you were using and have seen before seemed very specific and very attuned to its purpose. These certainly don't feel like it closely resembles those, other than that many of them glow a similar yellow kind of glow, and they're also, you know, crystals.
Raw power.
But what you can tell, in addition to this, is that they sort of seem like they're growing in the back of this room. Like, this is not like a pressurized dome where all of these crystals formed over millions of years. It's almost like all of these crystals are new. And that feels weird, because how could you actually tell if a crystal is new? But these are all clean. They're all of varying sizes. Some seem quite a bit older. They're larger and they take up more space. But there are a lot of little ones that are kind of starting to peek out of places where no other crystals are. And it's kind of interesting. But each of them radiates this glowing kind of chromatic light from them.
Are there any that are maybe small enough for me to just try and snap off, just so I have a specimen to take with me?
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, Josh, like, do I know if they're unstable? Like, if you were to do precisely what Mordecai is doing,
they don't seem unstable. They seem, based off of what you've looked at, Val, none of these are like crackling with fierce energy, looking like they're about to explode like some kind of bomb.
Gotcha.
They all seem to kind of have a tuned down kind of magic. They're not about to explode with power. It's just something that seems very natural to them, this power that's radiating through them.
Okay.
And Mordecai, if you want to try and snap off a little crystal, I'm going to ask you to make a strength check.
Yeah, proceed, Mordecai.
I wish I had my crowbar for this, but guess not.
Yeah, Lord knows. If only you had a crowbar.
Oh, dude.
Nat one.
Okay, I'm going to need you to roll the critical fail table.
Oh, did you do something bad? I rolled an 82, which means I hit myself and take normal damage from something.
Okay, so Mordecai, you reach down and you pull at this crystal, and your hand slips on the crystal. You fly back, and your fist ends up hitting you in the face, and you get a black eye, and you take 3 points of bludgeoning damage.
It's a good thing I'm wearing a mask. Nobody can see my shame.
But you know.
I do. There's a lot. Geo, I know you're sitting down, but you think you could rip one of these out for me?
I guess I could try. Is that just a strength check?
All right, go ahead. Roll me a strength check.
I guess I am pretty strong. A 4.
Well, your attempt is not nearly as catastrophic as Mordecai's was. You do not manage to pry off any of this crystal.
I guess it's just the way things go sometimes.
It was never meant to be.
While they're messing with that, Josh, can I just go and see what this item is up in the... Looks like it's on the floor here.
That's another crystal that's kind of sprouting out of some stones.
Oh, okay. Here, it looks small enough. Maybe I'll give it a go. Val, roll up his sleeves.
All right, strength check.
Sure. Show you guys how it's done.
Please. I'm going to be so ashamed if you pull this thing out.
Well, that's sensors. Val only rolled a 3.
Never mind.
Okay. All right, so Val, you try to pull out that crystal there, and you're having worse luck than Giovanni, which was no luck at all. So
sure.
Unfortunately, you're not able to remove a crystal from that area.
Damn it.
Giovanni, could I get you to roll a wisdom saving throw?
I'm very wise. Oh, everyone gets +2 to saving throws also, because we're all within my aura.
The aura of Brodom.
That's a 10 +2.
Giovanni, you realize you're feeling a little depressed.
Yes, I have been a little depressed.
You're not quite sure what that's all about, but you are feeling a little sad.
I wonder what the point of all this is anymore.
You know what? I think you actually do need a break. Why don't you go sit down for a little bit and just take a breather?
Perhaps I shall. And contemplate the
as he walks over that corpse.
I was going to say, go investigate that corpse and cheer you up.
Perhaps I shall. Can I investigate the corpse?
Gio always likes a good corpse.
Gio likes a good dead body. A good murder mystery.
Just feel this overwhelming weight upon my troubled brow as I investigate.
You want to investigate that that corpse there. Go ahead and roll an investigation check.
A 12.
Okay, so you can tell that this is a recent figure, a recent body.
You can tell that this is a corpse.
It certainly hasn't... It's a body that has been here for probably no more than a week, and it's been burnt through. You can make out some features on them, but it's very difficult to pinpoint like who this person was in particular. All of their clothes have been burnt away. You can't find any pouches of coin or clothes or anything on them. But you can tell from the shape of their ears at the top, or at least what remains of them, that this person was an elf.
Oh, I can deduce that even though it's really burnt?
Yeah.
Oh, my follow-up question was going to be, is it like humanoid? Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a humanoid elf.
Oh, I'll share that news with my compadres.
Sure.
Hey, guys, did you notice the corpse was an elf?
To be completely honest, I wasn't looking that closely out of respect. But
thanks, Joe. I expected as much.
I mean, we saw that elf mummy upstairs, right?
It's only about a week old.
Now that's weird, because it was...
That's very weird.
It was very difficult to get down here.
I am down here by absolute happenstance, and in this chamber, even more so.
Well, the residents of Elftown knew of this passage, or they must have... For the stained glass and the whole tree thing.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right, Gio. At least insofar as the tree, maybe not about this, but yeah, that actually kind of helps us maybe determine where they might be. Josh, can I just explore this chamber a little more? Just wander around and just see if there's more here than meets the eye before we read the tablet?
Sure.
Yeah, Giovanni's feeling a little... That kind of perked him up a little bit. He's going to go wander around and check some things out.
Nothing like a good corpse to...
Rouses Giovanni's spirits. I just want to make sure we're not missing
pillar. I like the pillar effect with the shadows.
It's amazing, man. So. Forge.
So the two of you make your way away from the plaque and the chair and the crystals at the end of this room, and you start working your way back. And you can see that this area opens up into what seems to be a long hallway. Much of it is ruined. There are pillars lining the edges of it. And you can tell that this is certainly part of the original structure here. It seems like somebody put this here for a reason. Eventually, you kind of come to an area that opens up to the rest of the caves.
Oh!
The caves that Giovanni and Mordecai were exploring not more than a short time ago.
Interesting. Mm.
She's telling me that there was an easier way down this whole time.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
There's a much easier way down
here. There's an elevator.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Good to know. I wasn't sure how we were all going to get back out through that tunnel without. Yeah.
Guys, table talk, but maybe we're backtracking now over an area we don't need to re-explore because we.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get back to the tablet.
Because we took a really, really, really big dangerous shortcut. Like we walked along the skybox.
Skirted all the monsters.
Yeah.
So now taking a turn away from the area that opens up to the rest of the caves, you walk back down that hallway you strode down just a moment before, and you head back towards the crystals, the chair, the body, and the plaque.
All right, at least we know how to get out of here. You want to go ahead and read the hiddly who, whatever's on there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. And I'll translate it for them.
Let's summon a horrible fire-breathing monster. Why not?
I mean, it's par for the course with us.
Before I recite anything, can I like read it myself?
Sure.
You're very, very good point, Gio. I don't want to invoke some.
Can I go ahead and just preemptively do? How much health do you need to be at full, Val?
Well, don't burn all your magic either, Julia. I'm at 24 of 43, but I also have my own healing still, eh?
Yeah, but lay on hands isn't a bonus action anyway, and I'd rather just use it up before a fight anyway. So why don't you add 15?
Sure, okay, yeah, I would appreciate it. Yeah, thanks.
I'd rather heal up before a fight and just focus on my...
Slam?
My ability into damage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I appreciate it. And that saves me from burning some spells, too. Thank you, Gio.
Don't mention it.
Okay, and so do you want to send me what it says, Josh, or do you want to read it?
I'll send you what it says, but when you go to tell the guys what it says, that's where I'll take over.
Sure. Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah, sure. If it's, yeah, I don't want to take up too much time, but I just don't want to invoke some kind of crazy magic in this crazy magic room.
Fair enough.
If it says it summons anything crazy explicitly, I'm not going to vocalize it. And suggest
you're gonna
we
get us
we
all go sent to the city of Rass.
And suggest we all go back the way we came.
All right, let me know when you're ready to read that to the guys, and I'll read it out.
Yeah, you go right ahead.
All right, Val, you speak out the words to your companions. You can see that it's broken down into two sections. The first seems kind of like a lone stanza, and then the rest gives more information. And it reads, "To my child, the last I bore, I did what I could, but cannot undo what I didn't. Athis, last of the Naiad true, brought wind and wood and water. Upon the earth she cast her strength and gave it to her daughters. And for her aid the Sylvan came and asked another gift, to hold the scepter of the plains and close the doors a rift. But the staff had other plans and drew her to her doom and tangled with her heart and home. And there she is entombed. Take heed to those who find this hall, and bear your heads with awe. Locks are there to keep things shut, but each can have a flaw."
Ominous.
Damn.
Cool.
The words echo in the room around you, and in the quiet that follows gives an eerie silence. But there is pressure now, like a heavy cloud laying upon the three of you as you gaze at the plaque in front of you. But looking up from it, you see now that the seat in front of you, the one that Giovanni was in quite a few times, is no longer empty. Upon it sits a figure, cast in shadow and filling it completely.
Okay.
What does it look like?
Roll perception checks.
19 for Mordecai.
That is a 2 for Giovanni.
You're real tired, man.
Giovanni is daydreaming.
I see shadows.
And what'd you get there, Val?
Val rolls a 19, right on.
Okay, so I guess perhaps Gio is just struck, staring at the plaque in front of him, even though it's all in Elvish and he can't read it. He's just, there's something about it that just kind of calls out to him.
Cursive.
Something that yeah, you can see it's an Elvish italics too. It's even more cursive than it.
Well, I'd like to retcon that Giovanni got a 51 in Elvish, like basic Elvish that he took in object school. I was like, not his
I'll never
subject.
Use this in the real world.
It was really I think that Elvish is like the French of Renland.
Val and Mordecai, you look up from the plaque under this pressure that's in the room, and you see this figure sitting on this throne in front of you. And you can see that, to you, Mordecai, it actually seems reminiscent of some of the statues you saw upstairs.
Oh, shit.
A very tall, very feminine creature, but not human, and not even elf by any standard.
Ugh.
Could I get both of you guys to roll nature checks?
Oh, cool. Sure.
Not my strongest suit, but it's intelligence, so we'll see.
So, with that roll of a 2, like, does Giovanni even notice, like, what does Giovanni see right now?
Giovanni sees the plaque.
I don't see the thing sitting behind it at all?
Nope.
It was shrouded.
Oh my god.
You're trying way too hard to just read.
Giovanni still might be convinced that Elvish is actually cursive common and he's trying to make it out himself. Despite Val translating it for you guys. What did you guys roll?
Val rolled an 18.
And I got a 14 for Mordecai.
both of you recognize this thing, although perhaps neither of you have ever seen one, certainly not a living one, and certainly not one out of a textbook before. Mm. It's a dryad.
Mm.
Dryads are ancient creatures. A lot of them resemble humans, but they're much taller, and they certainly don't look like humans when you get up close. Their skin is like bark, and roots and vines cover their body.
Wow.
But nobody has seen one. Certainly not in a very, very long time. And Val, you pick up on this perhaps more than Mordecai, though you yourself have never seen a dryad. This one doesn't seem right. You know dryads to be isolated creatures. They're as much a hermit as you are yourself.
Sure.
But you know that they're typically pretty nice. Or at least that's what you've learned about them. Mordecai might be able to give you more information about that. They're not hostile creatures unless you come onto their territories, in which case they can become very defensive.
Hmm.
But this one isn't even moving. It's just looking straight forward. Not even at the three of you. Just straight forward.
1,000 yards, sir.
I'm gonna just kind of like tilt my head towards Val and Geo and just under my breath, don't move. And if you do, kneel.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with that approach. I think Val might take a kneel.
I'm gonna slowly move down to the ground.
Slowly.
Why?
And show fealty for being in their territory.
Is there something in this room?
Get down!
The two of you start to kneel, and Giovanni kind of gestures around himself. And as you do, a voice speaks out. Who are you to disturb me?
Can I look and see?
Yeah,
now,
Giovanni, hearing that voice, you look over and you can see this creature sitting atop this chair.
Sulad Ethiogovenin.
Oh, God, no.
She looks at you, Giovanni, and this is the first time that she has looked at anyone in this room. I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, boy.
Wisdom. Oh, skill I often do not use. Normal roll plus 13 plus 2 is 15.
You feel a hollowness in yourself as she looks at you.
Ugh.
Almost like everything is going wrong.
Oh, man, the depression ray is strong.
She asks again, who disturbs me?
Val.
I am Giovanni Duchambre, a knight of the sacred object.
No! Shut up!
You've come to seek what has taken all the elves away from our kingdom.
She stands up, and she takes a step down from her position on the altar towards you, Giovanni. Others have come and stole what they could not take, though they suffered for their actions. And she looks down at the body in front of her, and then looks back up at you, but not quite at you, just past you, like she's looking through you. And then she turns to, or at least rather in the direction of Val and Mordecai. It was not a request. Whom are you?
We're simple, just guards. We were sent here to locate missing people. Not to take anything, just to
missing
get information.
Elves, for that matter.
Yes.
I'm going to relay that in Elvish, of course.
Ah, one of the Sylvan. Come again. She reaches forward, and out of her hand, out of nowhere in particular, like it's almost growing out of her arm, a shape starts to take hold. It looks like a rod, maybe? But then it grows longer, and it grows to her height, 8 feet tall in all, looking down at you.
Woo.
And you recognize now that it is a spear, and at the very top of this spear, you see a thing you've seen before, a crystal jutted into the top of it, golden and bright with yellow radiant energy, crackling with power.
Wow.
And she says, none may follow
I hold the paths, and the paths are kept shut.
Okay. We don't need to follow, but we do need to know where they are. There's other people that might come looking for them and might give you trouble.
No.
Hmm.
Look, forest person, we're just
that's so offensive.
We're just looking for the elves. If you could just help us along our way, and I'll try not to take anything. All I found is this stupid rock in the cave. Do you want to give that back?
You have trespassed upon sacred land, humans. You are not welcome here. And yet, you cannot leave.
That sounds like a predicament.
Like ever?
Are we sealed in this tree?
Not quite. And with that, she takes her staff, her spear, and holds it over her head, and then jams the gem into the ground at her feet. And like that, she's gone. No longer there, not in front of you. But you can feel the pressure around you building, lightening, and almost to the point where you can see it radiating out upon you. And from behind you, something comes crashing out of the ground.
Oh, shit.
And it's her. She's surrounded by radiant light, shining as far as this cave will let it shine. But she remains black. Etched in amongst this light, not looking at any of you, looking past. But she does move forward, and she comes towards you, Val, and she strikes you with the spear.
Sure.
While she's doing this setup, just reactionary, can I touch Val and cast Mage Armor on him?
Yeah, do we get to react to this?
Because we're all right beside each other.
This probably seems like the time for initiative to actually start. So, can I have everybody...
We're probably pretty stunned, but yeah.
Everybody, cue yourself up, and let's roll some initiative.
Is she still going to try and make this surprise attack on me?
We'll see.
Do I get an op...
Nobody gets opportunity attacks.
Can I...
Sure.
Can I get an opportunity action?
We'll see how you roll.
It's just for flavor, though. It's not for combat.
It's a reactionary round. Yeah.
16.
13.
Val rolled a 21.
Okay.
Dirty.
She rolled an 8, so guess she's at the back of the turn order. She rushes towards you, Val, but you have a chance to react here. What do you do?
Dodge.
Duck, dodge, dive, like, dodge.
I want to...
Duck, dive, and
yeah,
dodge.
Yeah, I want to roll back kind of towards the tablet, like... diagonally if I can, kind of out of the way of her rush.
Yeah, she's not technically in combat with you, so you can you have your standard movement.
Oh, sure.
Without getting prompted with something that will make you take an attack.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to Misty Step. Use my Rowanwood Mask and Misty Step 50 feet.
Okay.
Pop!
Where are you going?
Kind of towards, more towards where that crystal was that I tried to pull out the chamber. Yeah.
So kind of in the direction of that crystal that was off to the side, but also this pool that you guys pulled yourself out of?
Near the pool, yeah, that's right.
Okay, go ahead and move yourself.
Geo didn't pull himself out, he walked out.
I think you just kept running.
Yep, iron boots.
Clunk, clunk.
Pow!
All right.
Chunk, chunk, chunk.
Val, you see this dryad running at you, and you just take a step and fall to your right. Suddenly you find yourself 30 feet over to your right, just where you were when you were a seal, pulling yourself out of the water. You can now see that the dryad is directly in front of Mordecai and Giovanni. Are you doing anything else?
Oh, sorry, I'm going to loose a ghostwood bow at her.
Okay.
Just sit, cool. And Val rolls a 12.
It misses. It misses her. You fire a shot, and it goes wide past her, the spectral light of the arrow disappearing into the air around you.
Shit.
Next up, it is Giovanni.
Will it use an action if I take this stupid rock that I picked up and throw it at her and say, I'm not going to take anything that won't let us leave, because she said something about that.
Mm. Okay, you throw it at her.
Does she react?
She doesn't react.
Then it will be a duel. And I'm going to fucking longsword the shit out of her.
Okay, roll to hit.
Ooh, crit fail on the first combat roll for Giovanni.
Okay, roll critical fail boy. Table.
Fucking bullshit. Opponent parry hits growing. Half move, -4 to hit for 3 rounds.
Okay, you swipe at her with your sword, Giovanni, but she nimbly takes the spear and slides it over the shaft of your sword and flings it to the side. And with the blunt end of it, she brings it right up between your legs and hits you in the groin.
Oh.
Oof! My sacred object!
Oh, God.
Can I try that one again? Oof, my sacred objects!
Okay, yeah,
use whatever you want. I can do more later.
Okay, yeah, we'll fit in like another 10. Don't worry about it.
I don't like that one bit. And I'm gonna I can still attack again, right? Because I get 2.
Yep. And you didn't drop your sword.
May the object take you. I did not drop my sword.
Yeah.
17 -4 to hit. I guess is what we're doing here.
Yep. So you rolled a 13. The 13 misses. This time she just steps to the side. And she just kind of just steps as your sword comes down, and it just misses her completely.
I like to imagine Giovanni's pretty winded right now.
Yeah. Mordecai.
Oh, my God. You know what I forgot to fucking do?
What?
Is use my fucking shield that I just charged up on that crit fail. God damn it.
Wait, wouldn't that have been great?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shit.
That's okay.
You went through the prep to charge it, too.
I knew this would fucking happen. It's okay. It'll happen again. I'm sure.
Okay, all right, Mordecai, fuck. You're up.
Fuck!
bonus action, I guess since Val has moved out of range, I will mage armor myself.
Okay.
+1, so I've gone up 1.
You're at 14 now.
I am 14. Whatever, totally counts. I can't cast a second spell as my action, can I?
I'll allow it because that mage armor is a unique thing to you and it's kind of innate casting, so I think I'll let this go since that's technically a bonus action for the character you've created.
Okay. I don't know if this would work, but I kind of have the inclination of casting light on its face to blind it.
I don't know, Mordecai.
I believe that there is a spell that does exactly that thing, so I'm not sure how well light would do it.
I don't have darkness.
Yeah. Generating well, a lot of light, man.
Is there a spell called blind?
Oh, yeah. Well, there is a deafness and blindness, and there is darkness.
Oh, I like thinking outside the box, though. I think that's cool.
Never mind. I'll cast... Do I have sleep prepared? I do have sleep prepared. I'm going to cast sleep.
Okay.
So I have to roll 5d8 and hope that it does something. But, let's see, that's first level. If I cast it at second level or higher, I can roll an additional 2d8. So if I roll this at third level, does that mean I'm rolling 5d8 plus 4d8, so 98?
I want to take a look at that spell for a second here.
When you cast this spell using a spell slot of second level or higher, roll an additional 2d8 for each slot level above first. And since it's 2 slot levels above, that would be 2d8 and 2d8. So 48 plus the original 5d8 would be 98.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, cool. Okay, 37.
You reach out towards her, Mordecai, and out of your hands comes this mist, a familiar mist that you've done a few times on a few different people at this point.
Yes.
And it falls on her face, and it kind of seeps into the pores of the bark that line her. And she just looks at you.
Sorry, it just looked like you needed a nap. And then I'm going to try and back up.
Okay.
At least half my movement.
Okay.
And that'll be my turn.
It is now their turn. They look over towards you, Giovanni, as you are the closest person to them at this point. And they stab at you.
Bring it on.
They rolled a 12.
Ah, Masky.
That's okay. They get 2 attacks. They stab again.
So do I.
It seems we are an equal match.
They rolled a 13. Dear Lord,
aha!
Give me strength.
Eat shit and die, Dryad. Giovanni, I gotta retcon that. Giovanni doesn't know what a Dryad is.
Fair enough. Okay.
So round one went really smooth, guys. Let's keep it up.
Except for that nat one that I could have made a nat 20.
Yeah.
Hey, stuff happens.
Yeah, it's okay, man.
You know what's dangerous about the shield, though? It's going to become like a pauldron situation where I'm going to get really used to it. I'm going to use it all the time. And then it's going to break.
Break.
Yeah. Got to be careful.
Okay, so she adds two hands on the spear and she strikes at you twice, Giovanni. And you just kind of step out of the way, blocking with the shield the second time. And then she stops in the midst of her attack and reaches her hand in the direction of Val.
What? How long is that hand?
Stop trying to touch our friend.
She just reaches in the direction of him.
Oh, like a
point.
This is I forget, our podcast is an audio medium sometimes, and no one will see the hand gestures that I make.
Yeah, been there.
And she casts Entangle.
Ugh.
Grasping weeds and vines sprout from the ground in a 20-foot square starting from a point within range. For the duration, these plants turn the ground in the area into difficult terrain. A creature in the area when you cast the spell must succeed on a strength saving throw or be restrained by the entangling plants until the spell ends. A creature restrained by the plants can use its action to make a strength check against your spell save DC. On a success, it frees itself. When the spell ends, the conjured plants wilt away. So,
quick question.
Yeah.
Does the dryad have night vision?
It might have dark vision.
Dark vision, sorry.
Well, she's lighting up the room though, right? So, I mean,
I know, but yeah. I mean, Geo can't see Valerius right now, but I'm just wondering if
well, it's not like you would have insight into the sight of dryads, but she is doing this.
Okay.
So she casts that, and I need you, Mordecai, and you, Val, to roll strength checks.
Oh, sure.
Lovely.
Or saving throw, rather. Strength saving throw.
Oh, which means you get a +2 to whatever you roll. Well, wait, you might not be within my...
How close do we need to be?
Oh, 10 feet. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, we're not...
Not quite there. Should never leave my side.
Oh, shoot. Val rolls a 5.
And I got a 13 for Mordecai.
Okay. Both of you are entangled. You are restrained by the plants.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay, so entangled means that we're restrained, like we can't move from where we are, right?
A restrained creature's speed becomes 0, and it can't gain benefits from any bonus to its speed. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage.
Okay. Would I still be able to speak and or move my fingers?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I can still cast spells. All right, continue.
All right, thank you. And that's their turn. Next up, it's you, Val. You are entangled. All these plants are around you. Might be a pretty sweet situation, at least for you, if they weren't trying to kill you, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not for that. I want to... I want to try different, maybe.
Talking to the weeds.
Yeah.
Master. Yeah, baby.
Two good plants. There it is. I just want to... I just wonder if that would work. The hell, I'll cast it anyways, I guess.
Sure.
And see if they won't at least free me. And then if I can get them to do that much, I'll try and turn them on, or I guess if I can.
Sure. Do I have to roll anything?
Just one second. I'm just trying to get the scripture up of it here. You imbue plants within 30 feet of you with limited sentience and animation, giving them the ability to communicate with you and follow your simple commands. You can question plants about events, spells, area within the past day, gain information about creatures that have passed, weather, or other circumstances. You can turn difficult terrain into ordinary terrain. That lasts for the duration. Or you can turn ordinary terrain into difficult terrain. That lasts for the duration. Okay. That allows vines and branches to hinder pursuers, for example. Plants might be able to perform other tasks on your behalf at the DM's discretion. Spell doesn't enable plants to uproot themselves and move about.
So, Val, you speak out to the plants and the vines that are starting to weave their way out of the ground and up your legs and up your torso and onto your arms. And what do you say?
Free me and my companion.
So I'm going to, and this is a weird situation, I'm going to need you to roll a persuasion check.
Sure.
Because you're technically contesting the will of these plants that were created by another.
Sure, of course. Well, because they're not, they're not plants, free of their own accord. They're summoned by...
They got a job to do.
They got a job to do. 16.
Okay, you feel the vines lessen on you And you don't feel them pull away entirely, but you do certainly feel that they have weakened some of their hold on you.
Sure. Am I able to try and, with this slackened hold, can I try and get, like, I'm on the edge of this, for the listeners, I'm on kind of the edge of this entrapment field. Can I try and, like, grab the earth and try and pull myself out of this, this entangled square?
Yeah. Roll a strength check.
Sure. What about 17?
Yeah, you managed to pull yourself free. You're still in the area, and if you stand here in any one spot too long, they will start grabbing onto you again. But you feel like you've kind of freed yourself.
Yeah, sure. I want to just kind of get out of this patch of weeds here then.
Sure, you move at half speed in this area. So if you try to pull yourself out, you'll end up using 10 feet of your total movement just to step outside.
Yeah, that's fine. So here, I'll move myself then. I just want to keep this entrapment field between me and this monster here, so.
Okay, so you have backed out of this little garden that's popped up in between you and the dryad, and you are now caught in between, like, a cliff that is quickly going into some water. So you have this little space here between you and her.
Right.
Okay.
And those vines should have slacked on Mordecai as well, right? Because I did specify.
They may have. We'll see.
Me and my companion. Sure, okay.
Okay, next up,
anything's better than nothing.
It's you, Giovanni.
Well, despite the negative impact to my chance to hit, I'm pretty enraged by this thing hitting me in the nards, so I'm just going to keep swinging at it.
All right.
15 minus 3 is 12.
Miss.
13 minus 3 is 10.
Miss.
Ah!
You swing at her both times, kind of bending over and covering your groin, because, boy, is that distracting. And she just deftly kind of picks your sword up with her spear and just tosses it to the side each time you try to hit her. Next up, it's you, Mordecai. You are tangled in some vines, apparently.
I want to just see if I can get my two fingers pointed in her direction, my two index finger gun style, and twin spell a couple of firebolts at her, because she looks like she's made of tree, and tree doesn't like fire.
Fair
Ooh,
enough.
Right. Clever.
Oh, okay, so first one was a 13 to hit, and the second one's a natural one.
Okay, I'm going to need you... they both miss.
Okay.
And now I'm also going to need you to roll on the critical failure table.
Oh, God. For missing... what'd she say? I got 11. I trip, roll a dex, or fall. Well, I'm already tangled.
You are. I need you to roll a dexterity saving throw.
19.
Okay. You feel the roots kind of pull at your legs a bit more, Mordecai, and you stumble. And as you stumble, your shots go wide. And you start to fall over, but you manage to catch yourself at the last minute and hold yourself upright still.
Okay, sweet.
Whew. Next up, it's her turn. She's going to take a step just next to you, Giovanni, just moving around you. And now her back is to Mordecai and Val, but she stabs at you with her spear.
I am still pimp as fuck, so let's see how she does.
13.
Ooh, that dryad.
Natural 20.
Oh. This might sting a bit.
Ooh, boy, yeah. that crackling spear looks pretty nasty.
And that's the story of how Giovanni ended up trapped in a tree.
The story of how John made a new character.
All right, you take 14 points of damage.
Oh, that's not even that bad.
She stabs at you, and she gets right past your guard, both your shield and your sword, and she stabs you right in the shoulder plate, right underneath it, in that tender little muscle that's there.
Ah! It's a little close to home, Josh. You know, I was seeing physio for my shoulder.
Yeah. A little on the nose. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
And next up, it's your turn, Val. Val, you have just pulled yourself out of all those vines. What are you up to?
Jeez, yeah. Do you just call in the old moonbeam, or?
I wasn't going to say it. When's that moonbeam coming out, but.
Yeah, I think I'm going to roll Moonbeam. I'm going to cast it at level 3. Yeah, let's burn it. Go for broke.
Watch the night go up in smoke. Rock on! Demonetized.
Cast Moonbeam. Obviously, like Gio and I have practiced and done in battle so many times, he's going to fight with the Moonbeam.
All right, where are you casting it?
Yeah, just kind of, I guess, just sort of off behind her, I guess, so she's captured in the light, the beam, but not Geo.
What's the radius?
5 foot radius. Okay. So 10 foot diameter.
Bao, you reach out, and you call down the moonbeam. It flies through hundreds of feet of stone and crashes down into this basement you guys are fighting in, directly over top of this dryad that's fighting Giovanni right now. And she gets caught up in the beam, and she has to roll a constitution saving throw.
Are we all just not going to talk about that big radiating ball of radiant light going on?
Yeah, I was about to ask about that too, actually.
Yeah. Immediate threats first.
Yeah. I guess I could have deleted that.
That's not okay.
No, she appeared out of that, I think, Gio, and then has been moving out of it. Is that correct,
supposed
Josh?
To go away.
Yep. So she rolled a 9 for constitution. So roll me some damage.
Oh man, 16.
3d10.
Yeah, third level.
Oh boy, this moonbeam's been taking steroids, man.
Oh yeah, she's juiced up.
It's just crackling.
Nice.
It turns out the more earth it goes through, it
it gets stronger. Like it eats that. It up.
Gets stronger. Must like have hit a crystal pocket somewhere and
and it's just refracting it, or it's like a magnifying glass and it's just getting sharper.
Yeah.
I also love that the moonbeam is a she.
Oh like, yeah,
she's powerful now.
She's
okay. Yeah, so they take that 16 points of damage. Ouch.
Nice.
Next up is you, Geo. Geo, you turn around and you see this dryad that's standing behind you, and it's just glowing in this radiant light. One thing you do notice is that she doesn't seem to be reacting to it. She's just kind of standing in it.
Good.
Well, Giovanni knows a thing or two about radiance, being a paladin. If she's not reacting at all, usually things are freaking out and going like, ah, when they're in the moonbeam. So I'm definitely going to withhold any radiant attacks if I ever land a hit on her. So I'm just going to keep at it with the sword.
Okay.
Up for one more turn at -3. 11 -3 is 8. That is not a hit.
Yeah, that is a miss.
I crit failed again, which means I'm going to turn it into a crit hit.
Nice, dude.
I'm going to turn it into... I knew I was going to roll another one.
you called that.
I fucking knew it.
All right.
I'm going to throw that. So I'll just read out the Pisces shield again. The round iron shield is emblazoned with two spiraling golden koi. If the shield is submerged in water for at least 1 minute, the koi begin to animate and swim across the surface of the shield for up to 24 hours. While the koi are swimming this way, the next time you roll a 1 on the d20, or attack roll, ability check, or saving throw while holding the shield, you can treat the roll as if it were a 20 instead. When you do, the koi stop swimming, and they can't start again until 24 hours have passed.
Okay. The koi stop swimming. Let's see some damage there, Giovanni.
Let's see some damage. Critical roll. Fuck, 13. That's still pretty good, I guess.
All right, she takes 13 damage.
Nice, dude. Hack and slash.
Does she react to that damage at all, or is she just like...
She does, but not for any particular reason. It's because you swung at her first, and she just kind of steps out of the way, and then you lunge forward, and you trip on the ground, and then you just kind of fall up. And then end up stabbing her like directly in the ankle, and she's looking down at you, having stabbed her in the ankle, and that's about it. She doesn't really react. It was just kind of something she didn't expect to happen. She takes that damage.
Okay.
All right, Mordecai, your turn.
Okay. It's suggestion time. Do I cast suggestion?
Oh, I thought you were asking. Like, I was gonna be, I don't know, light her on fire.
That's what I'm doing.
All right, you know, I'm just gonna holler out to the dryad and say, "We never meant you any harm, or to stumble in here in the first place. Honestly, we're kind of lost. Let's all come to a reasonable solution, and just try and calm her down with that."
Okay, and what do I have to roll now?
You have to do a wisdom saving throw. And I believe my spell save DC is a 14? I think that's what it says. I thought it was higher than that, but 14's fine. On a failed save, it follows the course of action.
She turns back to you, Mordecai, looking at you, and she says, "Your intentions are of no consequence. I am being reasonable.
I feel like she just called me a bitch.
That's the end of your turn, and it is her turn. And with those words, she turns towards you, Mordecai, and she looks past you at Val, and she throws her spear.
Whoa.
Wait a second. I'm still entangled, right?
You are, yes.
Does that not mean that at the end of my turn, I get to make a strength saving throw to break out of the entanglement?
Well, it's kind of her turn now.
At the end of each of our turns,
you have the chance to do that.
Supposed to be able to try and escape.
All right. Well, yes. You caught on to it. I'll let you have it.
Okay.
Strength check.
Here we go. That's 16.
You managed to pull yourself free. You are no longer being entangled by these roots. But nice. If you stand in them for much longer, you will become entangled again.
Okay. Can I just say that I move over a little bit?
Sure. You managed to pull yourself free and fall out of this little garden. She targets Val with her spear. She throws.
Wow.
She rolls an 18.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That hits you?
It's a hit.
And she rolls a 7 piercing damage.
Oh, okay. Ugh!
The spear is right next to you, Val. It came past you and cut you along the arm and embedded itself at the cliff wall that you are right next to.
Sure.
She turns back from you and she looks at Giovanni. She casts Shillelagh.
My wrestler name.
Isn't that like an Irish wooden weapon or something?
That's precisely what it is.
The wood of a club or quarterstaff you are holding is imbued with nature's power. For the duration, you can use your spellcasting ability instead of strength for the attack and damage rolls of melee attacks using that weapon, and the weapon's damage die becomes a d8.
Wow. I have a feeling that's going to be very powerful.
Actually, a pretty good spell.
Yeah, if she can hit me with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that.
She did just roll a nat 20. I should probably put a lid on that confidence, but nope.
Let's not get too cocky.
That's what's going to win the day here, is overconfidence.
Always does. So she swings at you with her arm, Giovanni, that is glowing with green energy.
And?
She rolls a nat 20.
Twice in a row?
Well, she did have other things she had to roll in between then and now.
Yeah, okay.
You take 11 points of damage.
I want to see these dice that you're on. I'm just kidding. I'm down to 15 health.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, didn't she have to roll for Moonbeam?
Yeah, she does. Because this is her and she's in it. So here we go.
Good catch, Joe. Good catch, Joe.
13. I believe she has to beat a 14, right?
Yep.
All right, let's see some damage.
19.
Jesus.
Sizzling, baby.
Yeah, she takes 19 points of damage.
Fucking 30 to happen.
The next monster I create is just going to be a giant mirror beast.
Well, I would actually fucking love that.
Yo, that would be yo, that'd be gnarly, though. Teach Val a lesson, all right?
You know how Ben and I feel about mirrors.
Yeah. I've got a fun idea for you, Josh. I'll shoot it to you later.
Sure. Okay, Val, it is your turn. What are you doing?
Well, I've got to keep focusing on Moonbeam. am I able to grab this spear that while I'm focusing on Moonbeam?
I'll allow it.
Sure. Okay. I just want to just keep it. Just grab it, kind of, you know, ready myself with it, and then just. But I want to stay here. I want to stay on this other side of this entanglement field in case she tries to come for me again.
Okay. And you're gonna hold on to this spear here.
Yep.
You're gonna try to pull it loose.
Yeah. Jank it out of the ground or the wall. I guess the wall, you said, eh?
Strength check, please.
Sure. Val rolls a 16.
Okay, you grab onto the spear and you try pulling it out, but it is just wedged into that stone.
No avail.
Giovanni, it's your turn.
Well, now that I won't be... This is the third turn I have been subjected to that.
Your balls are feeling much better.
Ah, the objects are at full strength.
Jesus Christ.
Time to fucking hack and slash here. 25?
25 does hit.
You
make contact.
For 7 damage.
Okay.
Second attack, 14.
14 does not hit.
I figured. Ah, whatever. I drew sap or whatever this thing bleeds.
You stab it right in the arm, right where it was hitting you with its club. So it came and punched at you, Giovanni, and you manage to bring your sword up and you slice along its wrist as it comes at you. And it doesn't react to it, but it does take the damage.
I need a fire spell.
Next up, Mordecai.
Okay. We're gonna do a fire spell, I think. It's only 10 feet away. Oh, Gio, this might hurt.
It might not, though.
Maybe I can aim this.
I'm feeling lucky.
Third level spell slot. And we're gonna cast the little dragon's breath and actually use fire. I mean, technically, it looks like Giovanni's out of range.
I think you can do it.
Just angle it a little bit. So it has to succeed on a dexterity saving throw. 15, I believe, is the number for this one. Or take 3d6 fire damage. Or half as much on a successful one. So either way, you're getting fire damage.
Okay. It rolled a 15.
Oh, shit. Meets it, beats it. So yep. You only take half damage, I guess?
Yep.
18, so you take 9.
Fuck, good roll.
9 fire.
Good roll, yeah.
Okay, so the fire comes out of your mouth, Mordecai, and it starts grazing everything in front of it, passing into the moonbeam, and also on top of the dryad that's standing right in front of Giovanni. Giovanni doesn't take any damage. He's out of range. She does take the damage. She catches on fire, but doesn't react to it. And
Man. And
I need you to roll on the wild magic search table. Oh, no, I need you to roll a d20. That's what we do first.
And honestly, I should be doing 2 of these because I also had a spell earlier with suggestion.
Suggestion. Yeah, so do another one.
A 13 and a 20.
They miss. Or rather, nothing happens. Nothing cool happens for me. Okay. That's how I should really phrase that.
Sorry.
Next up is the dryad. Giovanni, it throws a punch at you with its club hand.
Nat 20 again.
We can hope. It's actually a 10.
Imagine.
Does not hit.
So you're fine.
Right.
It throws that punch at you. You manage to bring your shield up just in time to protect yourself from the punch, and you hear a clang as it punches directly into the shield. The shield is fine, though, of course. And you bring down your shield, and you realize that she is no longer there. And suddenly, you hear a bang over from where Val is standing. And Val, that spirit that you were holding on to a moment ago, now has the dryad holding on to the end of it.
Oh, God.
Just next to your hands. It's a pretty adorable moment if it also wasn't so frightening. Everyone for listening to our podcast. If you're interested in hearing more about us, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Anchor, or Patreon as Late and Legends. A special thanks to our patrons this week, Al, Aaron, DJ Seath, Ethan, and Jason. If you're like these very special people and want to support our podcast, join us over on Patreon. And be sure to leave us a review on Spotify and iTunes. That helps us a lot. With that, we'll see you next week.